Such an incredible psalm. And of course, many of you that were familiar with it knew right away the reference concerning shadows. We're walking through some Bible shadows this revival service. And this is one of the most beautiful psalms, Psalms 91. The Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." I don't know about you, but this abiding under the shadow of the Almighty sounds like a pretty good place to be. Verse 8, "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call him upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Heavenly Father, we sure need your help tonight. So bless this preacher, Lord, as I seek to take your word and bless your people. And so, Lord, give us good understanding. And, Lord, open our heart. So many different folks are represented here. And, of course, Lord, no life, no two lives are the same. And so, Holy Spirit, we're very thankful for the way that you minister to a congregation during a preaching service. Because I know that you can tailor make each and every biblical principle and apply it into each and every situation. And so, please, with your assistance, help this preacher as I preach. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I got to meditating on this when I was going through my series on shadows. And I got to think about abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And so one day, the great thing about having a Christian school is there's plenty of kids around, and when I need one, I borrow them, okay? Hey, preacher needs to borrow one of the kids. And so we go out into the parking lot on a sunny day and caught one of them out during recess time, and I said, "Come help the preacher a minute." And they come over, they're all excited. I said, "We're going to play a little game for just about 5 minutes." Okay. They're in on it. And I said, "This is what I need you to do. I need you to see if you can stay inside of my shadow." And on that sunny day, I was casting a shadow. Well, you know what? That's it. Yep, that's it. That's the rule. Stay in my shadow. And so I began to stand there for a while, and they found their place in my shadow. And for a while, I stood there, and then I began to walk. And guess what? In order to stay in my shadow, are you thinking? They had to walk in the same direction that I was walking. In order to stay in my shadow, when I changed direction, they had to stay close. In order to stay in my shadow, by the way, this is hard for a kid. I stopped one time and stopped for almost a full minute, which to any kid seems like an hour. And they were kind of looking up like, this is getting boring. And I got to thinking how hard it is for us to wait sometimes. Wait upon the Lord. And sometimes we want God to move. We want God to do something. And yet He knows exactly what He's doing in each of our lives. And for some of you, you may say this. It just seems like God's not moving. God's not moving. That's not always a bad thing. Just wait. Be patient. And so they had to stand. But you know what? As I watched this little game play out, I thought to myself, And God just taught me some things. If I'm going to abide in the shadow of the Lord, I've got to stay close to Him. If I'm going to abide in the shadow of the Lord, I've got to be willing, watch this, to let Him lead and not me insist on leading. Let's stop and think about that a minute. Could it be that we really want God to abide in our shadow? Could it be that we kind of want God to be with us, but we don't really want Him in charge? We say, look, we kind of want Lord to just tag along with our decisions and our direction and our life and just be there in case we get ourselves in trouble. Well, watch this. Come on, folks. We're not commanded. We're not commanded to expect God to abide in our shadow. We are commanded to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And so this psalm teaches this concept very beautifully. And so we're going to work down through it in the context of this psalm, and I think we'll learn some things about abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I think, first of all, you must first desire to seek out the Most High. It starts when somebody really begins to get a hunger to want to know God and a hunger to want to be with God. He that dwelleth in the secret place, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And so this is a decision, a personal decision that you have to make. And it's going to be made based on your heart's desire to get to know God. And so you must first desire to seek out the Most High. Folks, watch this. This is not a place to seek. This is a person to seek out. Your highest goal should be to get to know God. Young people, are you listening to me? Your highest goal ought to be to get to know God, to want to spend time with God, to want to get as close as you possibly can to God. And that's how you abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It must first start with a desire to seek out the Most High. Number two, you must first find the secret place. You notice that is spoken of before we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I want to just say this to all of you. Every single person in here needs to find and develop eventually a personal walk with God. A personal walk with God. I think it's a normal thing and a natural thing. And by the way, a practice that should be carried out by good parents. But for a while, we understand that our children maybe are not capable of developing their own walk with God for some time. First of all, they've got to get saved before they can have a relationship with the Lord. But even in their younger years, perhaps, you know what, they ride on the coattails of mom and dad's relationship and mom and dad's spirituality. And I'm not saying that that's bad for a while, and I'm all for family devotions. Have them. But parents, I think you need to be very tender to the idea that eventually that child is going to get to an age where you need to begin to train them to have their own personal relationship with God. And so I think that that's important. I'll tell you a story about my daughter that's here. She's my baby. She's the baby girl. And we put her to bed one night, and her and her sister shared a bunk bed. And she had the top bunk, and Hannah was on the bottom bunk. And her top bunk was always quite a sight to see. She was very much in, this is when she was still a child, fairly young child. And all of her stuffed animals' buddies lived up, come on the second floor condominium of the bunk bed. And she had more blankets than I know that she could do anything with. But it was a bit of chaos, but it was cute chaos. And she would go to bed every night, and then she would wake up in the morning time. That's her place. Well, we put her to bed one night, and we knew that she had kind of fallen asleep or was trying to fall asleep. But come on, parents, have you ever heard one of your kids just keeps coughing and coughing and coughing? When you think, well, they're going to fall asleep, but obviously they're not, as far as being able to get restful sleep. And so I told Cheryl, I need to go give her a little bit of something for her cough. So I go up there, and I'm looking around in the covers amongst all the stuffed animals trying to find my girl. Finally, I figure out where she's at, and I shake her like this, and I say, Tabitha, wake up. Now, she's waking up out of a fitful sleep, but she thinks it's morning time. And so when she wakes up, she reaches over. She has a little button she pushes, a little lamp she has rigged up there. And she reaches over, and she gets her Bible, and she's about half awake, and she starts flipping through the pages of her Bible to do her morning devotions. And I finally figure out what she's doing and say, "Tabitha, it's not morning yet." "Oh, it's not? No, I need you to take this cough." "Okay, Daddy." And so she takes the medicine, seems very happy that it's not morning yet. She puts her Bible back in somewhere amongst the giraffes and the teddy bears and all the other animals, and goes back to sleep. And I said to myself, "Lord, please." I climbed down from the bunk and I got on my face. I said, "God, please, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, please, may the first thing that she does when she wakes up in the morning is just reach for that old book and want to spend time with the Most High." And that's something, young people, you need to begin to develop. And by the way, I'm not talking about your teenage years. I'm talking about in your younger years. And so you must first find that secret place. Now listen, folks, why is the secret place so important? Because if you look up that word secret, it's talking about a private place. And so everybody's got to find a place and a time where it's just you and God. Just you and God. And when you begin to develop that personal relationship with God, what you're doing is you're placing yourself, shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Number three, you must choose to dwell there, not just visit. Notice it says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall, the next word is abide, under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to talk to you about the difference between morning devotions and walking with God. And I know that you've been taught this, but it's good to hear. I'm all for morning devotions. I'm glad that my daughter's first instinct as a child was to reach for her Bible. But I think that some people think that they're walking with God because they have morning devotions. And I want you to think about the two. You get up in the morning, and hopefully every Christian in here, hopefully every one of you have a Bible reading plan and a time and a place to spend in the Word of God, a time where you communicate with God, where you have a prayer time, and you can spend some time talking to God. I can't think of a better way to start out your day. But I will tell you this, folks, that is not a person to visit. That is not just a place to visit. I like to say that morning devotions is an opening conversation that you have with the Lord that should last the rest of the day. And so I just wonder how many Christians would rather just visit God than walk with God. Okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm checking in. Let me see what your book says. Let me tell you what I need today. I'll see you tomorrow. Because do we really want God involved in the whole rest of our day and all of our conversations and all of our decisions and to be with us? But listen, I'm not talking about prayer time just being an assignment or Bible reading time just being the accomplishment of checking off a box so that you can feel good about yourself. It's an opening conversation. I heard Lonnie Mattingly one time say, "I look at my morning devotions as calling God on my cell phone, but I don't ever hang up. I just put it on speaker, hang it on my belt, and leave it on all day long." I don't know about that. I don't like anything that involves a cell phone and God. But anyway, I thought it was a good way to illustrate it. So, you know, we're talking about developing this desire, a hunger for God, to want to know Him. And then to find that secret place where it's just you and God, just you and God. And then to decide it's not just a place to visit, but it's a place to dwell. It's a place to abide. Number four, you must choose to trust in God completely, to declare God to be your refuge and your fortress. Notice it says in verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust." Now that's a good way to... That's a good thing to declare as you walk out the door after your opening conversation with God. "God, I'm not just here to visit you. I'm here to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. I wanted to find you first before I found anyone. I want you to know that you're in charge. I'm not in charge. And I'm going to declare to you now that my trust is fully in you today. Lord, thank you for being there close. Because if I need a refuge, you become my refuge. If I need strength, you become my strength. This is a whole nother sermon, but I'll let you chase some of this down. But there's four different times where the Bible talks about abiding under the shadow of God's wings. And you know, folks, if you study that, how is that different from abiding under the shadow of the Almighty? Well, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty means that you are close to God, you are following God, you are with God. But if you study that, those phrases where it talks about going under the shadow of his wing, it's always spoken of during times of intense testing or trials or satanic attacks. And again, folks, one of the advantages of staying in the shadow of the Almighty is when you need to be underneath his wing, you can get under his wing. And you know what? Don't visit God once a day and then go off and do your own thing. Don't just visit God and then say, God, it's been good. Now you stay here. Desire, have a heart's desire to spend every day walking in the shadow of the Almighty. And all through this Psalm, number 5, the safest place you can be is under the shadow of the Almighty. And so much of this Psalm tells us of the benefits of choosing to live your life this way. Look at verse number 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Think about those things. The snare of the fowler. I've got a trapper, yep, in southern Indiana. There's still a few old-time trappers left. And I've got a guy in my church, Val Loveless, and that is his one outdoor passion. He saves a couple weeks of his vacation every fall to do nothing but just set trap lines and check them, and he's the real deal. Second time I came up for the men's retreat, I got Val to come with me, and boy, I tell you, we stopped by in Fairbanks and seen Al and Neil there in the tannery that since has sadly burnt down. But, of course, these trappers, they get into a conversation. I like just standing there on the edge and listening and nodding like I know what they're talking about. I don't know what they're talking about, but I know what a snare is. And I think most of you up here do. I was talking to Al one time, and I said, do you snare when you're... He had several wolf hides there. I said, do you snare when you trap? Do you snare wolves? He said, oh, yeah. And I said... And he told me a little bit about it. Showed me how he set it up and all of that. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Be sober. Be vigilant. Twice in the book of Proverbs, you'll find the term the snares of death. Come on, the devil's been setting traps for a long time. And he's pretty good. He's a better trapper than anybody in Alaska. And he's always setting snares. Now, don't you think if I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, don't you think the Almighty loves me and loves you enough to alter his course and change his shadow so that I don't have to worry about walking into one of those snares? Come on, everybody in here, if you were honest, when we've been snared by the devil, it's because we weren't close to God. And so think about that. There's so many advantages from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings, let's talk about his wings there, thou shalt trust, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the safest place to be is in the shadow of the Almighty. I gave some of the parents a little bit of encouragement last time. I'm going to encourage you again. You let your kids go find the will of God. You urge your... Listen, I didn't raise my kids for me. I raised them for God. It's blasphemous for me to walk down when they're born as a baby and dedicate them to the Lord and then spend the rest of my life trying to manipulate them to stay close to me. And there's a will of God for each and every one of us. Well, I'm scared if they go... I mean, if I just really encourage them to to seek God's will, they might end up on a mission field somewhere. If that's God's will, it's the safest place they could possibly be. I want them under the shadow, not of daddy, not of mommy, the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, think about the advantages. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Listen, because of your choice to abide in the shadow of the Almighty, you secure God's supernatural protection. Well, that's a good place to be. Grandparents, how many grandparents we got in here? If you're a grandparent, raise your hand. That was like a sign for you to raise your hand. Good. All right. Good. All right. Hey, we need to pray for them grandbabies. Come on. Let me pray for them grandbabies. Great grandparents. Come on. I won't have to ask them twice. Everybody likes bragging being a great grandparent. All right. Yeah. Woo. All right. Me too. Pray for them babies. Pray for them babies. Think about that. Encourage them to find and do the will of God. Look at verse number 9. Because thou hast made the Lord. If you think about that, you made a choice. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And more promises. Here we go. Because there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. All right, hard stop again. All these promises are connected with your decision to spend your life abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, come on. You're going to get up to that age and you're going to have to make some decisions. Every young person sooner or later in this room is going to have to make some decisions, and it's going to be your decisions. And the devil, come on, and the world, and even your own flesh will urge you to leave the shadow of the Almighty. You could even find a bunch of backslidden used-to-bes that aren't doing anything for God, and they're on the internet trolling for you right now. And they'll tell you all the advantages of leaving the shadow of the Almighty. But I'm going to tell you, I want you to reread this later, young person, before you make that foolish decision. Because when you walk away from the shadow of the Almighty, all of these promises, you also are walking away from them. And so think about that. Look at verse number 13. I think it's very interesting, verse number 13. Verse number 13, it says, thou shalt tread upon the lion. Are you thinking? The lion. Who's the lion? Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Who's the snake? The young lion and the dragon. Okay? Who's associated with being a lion? Who's associated with being a serpent? Who's associated with being a dragon? I think everybody in here knows who we're talking about. By the way, I want to just say this every once in a while. I just like stopping and saying it every once in a while. Make it public, you know. Me and the devil are enemies. We're enemies, sworn enemies. I don't like him and he don't like me. You know why I'm his enemy? Because he's an enemy of my king. Because he's an enemy of my king. And anybody who's chosen to be an enemy of my king, then they're my enemy. I hate him and he hates me. He's against everything I'm for, and I'm for everything he's against. And you know what? I don't understand people that want to come in on Sunday and sing praises about the Lord and then play footsie with the devil. Why don't you decide which side you're on? And you know what? That decision to walk away from worldliness and walk away from carnality. I mean, you want to stay close enough to God to kind of keep him in sight, but you don't really want to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. But that decision to walk over here and get right in the shadow of the Almighty is a proclamation that I'm on the Lord's side. And by the way, when you make that decision, you know what God says? All right, you know what I'm going to give you the power to do? You think about this. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because I have made God my refuge and habitation, God will not allow evil to befall me, and God will give his angels, come on now, charge over me. I think every guardian angel, you'll be able to tell the ones that were assigned to people in Alaska. They're going to be all gray-headed and got the nervous shakes. And when you get there, the first thing they're going to do is slap you because of all the crazy things you folks do up here. But praise God. You don't believe in guardian angels. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You're going to get to heaven and find out how many times God sent one of His, come on, messengers to help you and to stand beside you and to protect you. This is a real thing. Well, who does He do that for? Oh, this little Baptist brat that was raised in an independent Baptist church but ran off and now living a worldly carnal life. I'm sorry. Listen, if you are truly saved, you'll always truly be saved. But you don't get the benefits of those who make a decision to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. And so be careful. Be careful. Yeah, talks about the lion. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Think about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He's going to guard you from the lion, guard you from the serpent. How about Revelation chapter 12, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven to cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered. We know who this is. It's the devil. And yet, folks, think about James chapter 4. Preacher, it just seems like the devil keeps getting me and the devil keeps getting me and it just seems like I'm no match for him and it just seems like I keep falling for his tricks and I keep falling into his snares. I'm telling you, I think probably 99% of the problem is you're not dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. Church isn't a place you come visit God. And even your morning devotions isn't a secret place where you meet for a few minutes. You have to decide that you're going to walk with God. Every great man in the Old Testament was used in an unusual way. You'll find many of them, it's told that they walked with God. They walked with God. Okay, they decided, I'm going to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I love James chapter 4, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Come on. God resisteth who? The proud. Giveth grace to who? Think about that. And so I can, in my Christian life, I can be proud. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I mean, some people need to stay that close to God, but I don't. I need Him when I need Him, but I got most of this. God resists the proud. Boy, that really hit me one time as a young man, and I needed to be hit by it. Because, you know, one of the dangers of youth is pride. Really is. And then God allowed me to see a picture, and I thought to myself, okay, what kind of relationship do I want to have with God? Do I want God waiting beside my bed for me to wake up in the morning, and when I wake up, put my feet on the ground and get ready to stand up, He's standing there, and for the entire day, His mission is to resist everything that I try to do? You want that kind of relationship with God? Then keep your stinking pride. Come on, keep your know-it-all attitude, young person. That's the kind of relationship you're going to have. It takes humility to say, God, I need to stay in your shadow. I don't have this. I don't know it all. I don't know where to go. I don't always know what to do. It takes humility. And so you can decide, even after you're saved, to have one or two relationships. You just got to hold on to your pride. God says, well, I resist the proud. But here's the good news. He said, but I'll give grace to the humble. So I begin to see something else. There I am laying in bed waiting for me to get up. And I put my feet on the ground. And I have a humble heart. And I have a teachable spirit. And God says, get up, son. I'm going to supply you grace, unmerited favor in everything that you try to do. Now, you can choose what relationship you want. But I think I just soon have the second one, not the first one. But he goes on to say this, submit yourselves therefore to God. Get under the shadow. Listen, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I want to say something that I want, those of you who know the Bible, test me on it. Show me one place in the Bible where you're supposed to flee from the devil. Come afterwards and show. Now you're supposed to flee temptation. You're supposed to flee youthful lust. You know what? There's not one place you could take me in the Bible and show me where you're supposed to flee the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We just read who in 1 Peter chapter 5, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Yes, we have an adversary. The devil is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. But the next verse doesn't say, when you see him, run for your life. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are on the world. Now, this is one of the most disturbing things and hard things for me as a preacher. When I see a failure, when I see the devil win in somebody's life, listen, I want to remind everybody in here, okay? The devil's a defeated foe. Jesus has already defeated him. Okay? He's a defeated foe, which means he can't win a victory unless we hand it to him. You have to assist the devil in winning a victory in your life. Okay, story. Interesting story. I go to buy a vacuum cleaner for our church back in the early days of pastoring, because who's a better authority on vacuum cleaners in the church than the preacher? Why was I doing that? I have no idea. So I look up, looking for a store that sells vacuum cleaners. Sweeper World. An entire store called Sweeper World. I mean, if there's somebody ought to know vacuum cleaners, Sweeper World. So I walk in there and I tell the guy, this is for our church. And he starts asking about, you know, who uses it, how often does it use, all this stuff. And he takes me over there. Anyway, the guy's a Christian. And we begin to talk. And somehow the subject of the devil came up. And he looked at me and he said, preacher, almost exact words, as much as I can remember, I think almost the exact words. He said, preacher, I just don't understand why some Christians let an unemployed ex-archangel ruin their life all the time. I texted him, what? An unemployed ex-archangel couldn't even keep a job in heaven. He's been fired. He's been defeated. The last weapon he had was death, the last enemy, and Jesus conquered that. Come on, Easter Sunday. I mean, think about it. Folks, listen to me. Do you understand that he's a defeated foe? Now, listen, I'm not telling you to underestimate the devil, and I'm not telling you for one second to think that you can defeat him in your power. But I'm telling you this. You stay there in the shadow of the Almighty. Think about this, okay? Here's somebody that has the potential to devastate me. He's much tougher than me. But I'm standing in the shadow of somebody that's infinitely more tougher than him. You know what? I feel like I could probably handle this situation now. But again, you wander out of the will of God because of your pride. I'm not listening to the preacher. I'm not listening to mom and dad. I'm going to go do my own thing. It's my life. It's my life. It's my life. First of all, if you're saved, it's not your life. You've been bought with a price. And you're to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. But you go ahead and do that, you know what you're going to find out? That there is an enemy out there. Let me tell you something. He's been devastating the lives and devouring backslidden Christians for a long time, and you're easy pickings. You say, preacher, I feel like that's kind of where I've been for a while. Then you come to an altar tonight and you just make a decision. You say, God, I'm going to find your shadow, and I'm going to get there, and I'm going to abide there. I'm going to stay there. I'll meet with you every morning, and then, Lord, I will dedicate that day, and I will tell you, my trust is in you. You're my refuge. You're my strength. And I can't defeat the devil on my own. But folks, listen, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we're talking about abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. But it's interesting. I kind of went off a little. But watch this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What's the next phrase after that? Draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to you. And so it doesn't say resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now go out and try it on your own. Right after that, he said, now if you're going to try to resist the devil, you draw a nighter. What's it say? Get in his shadow. Get in his shadow. It's the best place. It's the safest place. that you can be. Psalms 91, verse 14. Let's work our way the rest of that real quickly. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon. Wait a minute. One of the things you have to understand at this point in the psalm, all of a sudden God starts speaking up. He starts speaking up for that one who's decided to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now notice what he says. You make that decision tonight. You get to an altar. I'm tired of trying to live this Christian life in my own power. I'm tired of messing up because of my stinking pride. And it's time for me to get humble. It's time for me to let God be in charge. It's time for me to get up and get this book open every morning and pray every morning and walking with God and letting Him have control of my life. And all of a sudden God says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. Sounds like that's a cure to a lot of your problems. I will set Him on high because He hath known my name. Amen. You and God ought to be on a first name basis. Come on. Verse 15, He shall call upon me. I mean, I'm talking about the ones that have decided. I don't understand why preacher always gets his prayers answered and mom and dad always get their prayers answered and some of the men and women of the church seems like they, and I never get my prayer answered and you want to get bitter against God. Well, are you in His shadow? Seems like a lot of Christians, the only time they want God, I'm going to say this, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I think they treat God like He's some kind of little butler or bellboy. And God, you go stand over there in the corner, and I'm over here doing my thing. But when I get in trouble, I'm going to pick up my little bell, I'm going to ring it. And God, you need to come running and say, what do you need? And then I'm going to tell you what I need, and then you're going to rescue me from my trouble. And then afterwards, okay, thank you, God, go back and stand in the corner. I'm sorry, why don't you give the bell to Him? We're supposed to be His bellboy. Don't treat God like that. Don't treat God like that. What a disrespectful way to treat the Most High. So think about that. Wow. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Doesn't mean you're never going to see trouble, but folks, you'll never have to face it alone. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I don't know about you, but it just sounds like there's an awful good place to abide. But you're going to have to choose it. And come on, you're going to have to get humble in order to choose it. And you're going to have to be consistent in it. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen right up here. I haven't lived a perfect life. But as a 16-year-old boy, I came and I really got serious in my relationship with God. And I said, God, from now on, you're in charge. And I want to tell you this. It's a wonderful way to live your life in the shadow of the Almighty. I haven't got it all right all the time. There's been times when I haven't been as close as, but I'm going to tell you, folks, since that time, I have endeavored to live my life in His shadow. And you can do it. But young person, you're not going to do it riding on mom and dad's spirituality and coattails the rest of your life. You're going to have to go find God for yourself. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.